Face the hammer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Thor's Hammer Radio. I'm your host, Alex Thorson. You can catch me on the website, www.thorshammerradio.com. Follow me on Twitter, Alex Thorson, at Thorhammer Radio. You can find me on Minds.com, at Thorshammer Radio. And you also check my Facebook page, Thorshammer Radio. Well, everybody, I hope you had a great 4th of July. I know I sure did. And last week, I decided to put out that video on my website in lieu of a podcast as a special thing for 4th of July, for our Independence Day and the celebration of our Declaration of Independence, the founding document of our country. Wow. Now it's time to get back into doing some regular podcasts for a bit, along with our short segments. And man, a lot happened in just those 2 weeks since I last did a podcast there. We had the CNN meme, the Donald Trump body slamming the, Vince McMahon, and somebody transposed the CNN logo over his head, and Trump tweeted that out, and of course the verified leftist went wild. I mean, I thought it was pretty funny. I don't care if it's really kind of juvenile and childish, it's pretty funny. And the reaction by CNN was even funnier. And also pretty creepy, too. They ended up doxing, which is revealing his identity, and then blackmailing, essentially, not Trump, but this random Reddit user who made the meme. And now it turns out, actually, that they may have actually got the wrong guy. It was done by this really creepy guy, this Andrew Kaczynski, who runs this CNN's K-File. All this guy does is internet stalk people and then try and get public shame against them, like gin up this Twitter rage mob. Now, he did that to this girl, I forgot her name now, but it was the girl who flew over to Africa and made some joke about, hope she doesn't get AIDS, just kidding, she's white kind of thing. Well, this Andrew Kaczynski was the one who highlighted that tweet and got up this Twitter hate mob against her, and she ended up getting fired, and she didn't even know it because she's on a plane. And she just got off the plane and realized, oh my God, what the hell? And this is exactly what Gawker used to do. This is why they're out of business, because they used to find people that were not famous, really were not known to the public, and they would get some rage mob against them, and then voila, all of a sudden their life was ruined. So this Andrew Kaczynski, this guy's a lowlife. This is one of the guys that deserves to get his ass fired from CNN and never work in any kind of media ever again, because this guy's just a low-life scumbag. So anyway, that was the really big thing over the 4th of July stuff and going through that week. And now, of course, we got the newest big thing. Now we're chasing squirrels still. So the Donald Trump Jr. with meeting with that Russian lawyer and trying to get dirt on Hillary Clinton, that's what he was promised. And then it turns out he didn't get anything out of it, and it was misleading. Okay. And he ended up releasing his emails about it. So now this is the big story. We're supposed to chase squirrels. Look, I'm sorry, but there's really nothing there. And I come at this from a standpoint of police work and investigations. There's nothing there. There's no crime committed here. There's no criminal statute you can point to that says, yes, he violated that, now we need to investigate. Because people are talking about, we need to investigate. What, investigate what? If there's no crime, you don't investigate. Look, was Don Jr. probably pretty dumb for going to this meeting? Yeah. Was it probably pretty dumb of him to just release the emails? I mean, I probably would have, if I were him, I would have consulted a lawyer first and made sure of this. But okay, fine, that he did it. You can't take it back. And does the optics on this maybe not look so great, considering all this Russia-Trump collusion, stupid hoax crap that's been flying around? Okay. But do we investigate in terms of criminality? No, of course not. There's nothing here. Now, the New York Times reported that this Russian lawyer, by the way, was connected to the Kremlin. What they're doing, they're implying that she's one of Putin's agents. That's exactly what they're implying. Oh, really? Well, I'd like to see the proof of this. I mean, maybe she is, maybe she isn't. Just because she's a Russian lawyer doesn't mean that she's connected to the Kremlin. And I love this whole whataboutism that, yeah, because you've got not just leftists jumping in on this, but you've got people in the Republican Party and so-called conservatives that are jumping in and screaming the whole whataboutism argument, saying that, well, you can't just do the what about, you know, you'd be against this if Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton did this. We don't have to play the whataboutism argument with this. Barack Obama already did far worse. Hillary Clinton did far worse, okay? Barack Obama did collude, okay? He did collude with the Iranian government. Okay, there's no attempted collusion. Besides, it's not even a charge, attempted collusion. But Obama actually did collude with the Iranian government with regards to these secret side deals and covering them up from everybody, including the American people and including Congress. He actually did collude with the far leftist political party in Israel. I forgot their name, but the far leftist political party in Israel, he colluded with them to overthrow Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud party that he's part of. They actually did collude there. There's no attempt. It's actually happened. We actually have Hillary Clinton committing criminality by violating the United States Federal Espionage Act, 18 United States Code, Section 793, Paragraph F. Google it. Where she put a private, unsecured server in her damn basement, and which, according to the FBI, James Comey at the time said, at least 5 foreign governments gained access to. Well, that's not attempted, that actually happened. Okay, and Hillary Clinton and her campaign actually did collude with the Ukrainian government. She actually went to the Ukrainian embassy, or at least one of her staffers there. They contacted the Ukrainian embassy to get dirt on Paul Manafort and Trump. No attempt there, it actually did happen. So we don't have to go through and say, okay, well, this whataboutism argument. We actually have it happening, okay? Did Don Trump Jr. trade away 20% of America's uranium? No, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama did that. Did Don Jr. accept $500,000 for a speech and then give political favors to people like Frank Giustra and political favors to anyone in the Russian government? No, Hillary Clinton did that, and Bill Clinton. Did Don Jr. take a bunch of money as a charity operation to give to Haiti, but then steal most of it? No, but Hillary Clinton did that. Okay, so there's no crime here. So what's the point of investigating, quote unquote, this meeting? There is none. And it's funny because the leftist media will not want to report on what happened with Hillary Clinton or Hillary Clinton's camp and the Ukrainian embassy. And then they say, well, that's a different matter. It's a different matter because they're not in the news. The Ukraine is not the one that's being accused of colluding with the Trump campaign. It's Russia. Okay, so they're admitting they're focused on Trump. Listen, if you have a problem with Don Jr. talking to a Russian lawyer, in which there is no evidence that she's, no solid evidence from what I've seen that she's actually connected as like one of Putin's agents. But if you have a problem with that, then you should have a problem with Hillary Clinton talking and trying to get dirt on Manafort and Trump from the Ukrainian government. Either you have a problem with people getting information from foreign governments, no matter which government it is and who it is, or you don't. For me personally, I don't have an issue with trying to get information regardless of the source. Now, maybe that's just the police officer in me and knowing that I've gotten information from criminals. And granted, most criminals, they have an ulterior motive. It's because the person they're giving you dirt on is a rival, like a rival drug dealer or whatever. But the point is this, you can get some damn good information from less than reputable sources, as it were. That doesn't mean that you endorse them. Yeah, I don't think when police get information from informants, they're endorsing criminality. By the way, you don't become an informant by being an upstanding citizen. Police informants are always these low-time criminals, these small-time criminals, that it's either, okay, you go to jail or you become an informant. Because you kind of need someone who's a credible informant that's connected to the criminal world. That's how it works. So the point is this, you can get some good information from sources that are a little sketchy or a little less than reputable. Because oftentimes you need someone that's actually credible in that field, that element, that can get you good information. I'm not against getting information, even if it's from individuals or even governments that may not have the best interests of the United States in. Because you're not endorsing them, you're just getting information from them. And don't give me this crap about how, oh, this is like so anti-American. We've been getting information from outright hostile governments all the time. And not just about other foreign governments, but we get it from people within our own country too that are actively working against American interests. I think we can safely say that Hillary Clinton, through giving away or helping give away 20% of America's uranium, Hillary Clinton actively working against the United States Constitution, as with all her regressive friends, and Barack Obama included. Yes, they are against that. And besides, with Don Jr., I mean, what's he supposed to say? Just, oh, hey, potential information that could destroy or be damaging to Hillary Clinton? Well, I already know she's gathering stuff on Trump, getting Oppo research. I'm sure it intrigued him. Now, maybe from an optics perspective, it wasn't the smartest idea to go to it, especially considering this British publicist guy, this Goldstone, kind of sleazy, to be honest, that guy. And it's funny, they latch onto an email quote from this Goldstone guy saying, oh, it's part of the Russian government's effort to discredit discredit Hillary Clinton because the Russian government has a vested interest or they want Donald Trump to succeed. Now, people are latching onto this particular quote from this Goldstone guy. This isn't coming from the actual Russian lawyer. This is coming from this sleazeball publicist. This, like, Les Grossman type, you know, Tom Cruise's character from Tropic Thunder. This Les Grossman type guy who I'm sure he's just trying to lobby Don Jr. to get a meeting. Yeah, because this publicist, this sleazeball, also happens to know the inner workings of the Russian government. And this always amazes me, too, when people hear, like, if Putin makes a comment that it seems favorable to Trump or something along the lines, they take that at face value. They don't question it. But then when Putin makes other comments like he doesn't really care who wins the election and the Russian government doesn't care, people say, no, that's a lie. That's absolutely a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, has it ever occurred to people that Putin's probably being dishonest about everything he says in public? This is a man who's a former KGB agent. Soviet KGB agents are trained to be professional con artists. So they know how to manipulate people. They know how to tell them what they want to hear. So whenever Putin makes comments in public, it's probably because he's being dishonest about everything. I don't believe Putin whatsoever when he says he prefers Donald Trump or he thinks Donald Trump would be a better leader. I don't believe him whenever he says that, oh, he doesn't care who's president. The only statement he's ever made that I actually probably believe him is when he said that the biggest lament that he has is the collapse of the Soviet Union. That's the one thing he said I actually believe him. Everything else, I don't believe Putin on any of this crap. People gotta understand that Putin was most likely playing both sides against each other. Okay, he doesn't have America's interests at heart. And why the hell would he be wanting a wild card like Donald Trump when he's got a sure bet with Hillary Clinton? Because he knows he can buy her off. But that being said, again, I don't know Vladimir Putin's mind, so I'm not his conscience or his, you know, his inner thoughts. I don't know. But I can tell you this. Putin is not an honest guy. So trying to take Putin's statements, certain statements at face value is just stupid. Let's just assume, rightly, that he's being dishonest every time he opens his damn mouth. Okay, and then with regards to this Don Jr. getting information or wanting to get information, which turned out to be nothing. He didn't get anything. Again, there's no criminality here. There's no collusion or attempted collusion. Okay, the word collusion implies criminality. So there's nothing there. So there's no point in investigating, because you don't investigate something that's not a crime. Okay, so this is pointless. And I'm not going to sit here and chase squirrels like this is crap with Don Jr. and the meeting with a Russian lawyer. Because it's pointless. It's stupid. There's a lot more important things to talk about. Alright, that's all I'm going to talk about for this thing. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take our break here. When we come back here on Thor's Hammer Radio, we're going to get into more substantive topics, primarily healthcare, and what the hell the GOP is doing about it. So stay tuned, we'll be right back here on Thor's Hammer Radio. Valley and the Four Seasons. Great group. Great music. Love it. Alright, everybody. Welcome back to Thor's Hammer Radio. Now, to get off of chasing squirrels and end to the meat. Like healthcare. Oh, hey, interesting fact. Did you know that the moron who wants to run your healthcare, his wife is currently under FBI investigation? Yeah, that would be Jane Sanders, the wife of Bernie Sanders. She's under investigation for fraud with this two-bit, good-for-nothing university up in Vermont that she couldn't run and apparently took a lot of money out of and essentially defrauded people. Now, of course, the MSM is barely asked Bernie Sanders about this. The idiot Democrat media wants to skirt around the issue. There have been a few that have kind of touched on the question, and Bernie, of course, gets really hostile and defensive. And again, as I pointed out a little bit earlier, this is the same clown who, him and his wife can't run a two-bit good-for-nothing college up in Vermont, but they want to run the healthcare for everyone in the nation. And it's unbelievable. But, of course, it's not just him. The Republican Party is a bunch of progressives that apparently are perfectly okay with single-payer healthcare. All right, let's knock it off of these stupid, single-payer healthcare and single system, whatever you want to call these, basically these euphemisms. Let's call it for what it is. It's an iron-fisted, government-run monopoly on healthcare. That's exactly what this is. And it just amazes me that the Republican Party, under this idiot Mitch McConnell, who he needs to be repealed and replaced, along with Paul Ryan and, quite frankly, a whole host of these morons, but it just amazes me that they can't make the simple case for why you should have competition in the healthcare industry, in the health insurance industry. This is really what we're talking about, is health insurance, not healthcare. Okay? Anyone and their brother can walk into a hospital right off the street with no insurance and get taken care of, get treated. Hospitals, they can't just turn you away if you're like bleeding and dying. They're going to treat you. Okay? We're talking about health insurance. And it just amazes me. They can't make the argument for free market capitalism when it comes to healthcare. Think about this. Just from a simple, let's take any product. Okay, Apple iPhone. When Apple first came out with the iPhone, how much did it cost? It cost between $500 to $600. How much is it nowadays? It's about $200. In fact, you can get other smartphones out there for even less, as much as $100. And they've gotten better. Because the smartphones nowadays, you take all sorts of pictures and video, you got FaceTime, you can get internet applications. And by the way, the smartphone industry opened up a whole new other industry called apps, where you've got these private entrepreneurs that are creating these new apps, and some of them are really successful and they make a lot of money. Now, how did this come about? How did we go from one iPhone that costs about $500 to $600 to having a whole bunch of smartphones? It's called competition. Competition with different companies making this, you know, similar and better products, it makes them cheaper and it also makes them better. Because you can't have the same damn thing from the first generation. That's why we have, like, what, generation 7 of the iPhone? You can't just keep the same product and keep it up with the price when you've got all these competitors making better products of it. You have to keep up, and you have to make it affordable. See, there's this big myth that free market capitalism leads to monopolies, which is nonsense. It does not. The actual facts, the actual truth, points the complete opposite. See, in a truly free market system where there's no government intervention, you have winners and you have losers. You have some that really don't do so well and some that do really great. And what happens is that, yeah, you got your big stuff like a Microsoft or like a Google, Facebook. However, if there's no government intervention, what that means is that when you have your competitors or potential future competitors, there is nothing that a Bill Gates or a Mark Zuckerberg can do to stop them. There's nothing that an Elon Musk or, well, you take your pick of any of the big brands out there, big names. There's nothing that they can do legally to stop their competitors, which means that free market systems with no government intervention, they promote competition. They promote a better product and consequently a better lifestyle, better quality of living. Now, what happens when government gets involved? Well, the government starts introducing things like licenses. For example, in my home state of Michigan, you need a license simply to have a business. So just to have any kind of business, you're supposed to have a license. And then they come out with, oh, okay, well now you need a license depending on the industry. So if you want to be a barber, you have to have a license. If you want to be a dentist, you have to have a license. You have to have a certain license for like funeral homes or stuff like that. I mean, you have to have, they come up with these licenses depending on that are industry specific. And then you also have regulations. You have, okay, EPA is getting involved here, OSHA requirements over here, the FCC, FEC, they get involved with, you know, certain, like, say, broadcast industry. Now, how does this affect the market? Well, if you have all these different fees now that the government tacks on and forces you to pay for, who does that hurt the most? Well, the big companies like the Walmarts out there, well, they can afford to pay the fees, no problem. Yeah, it digs into their pockets a little bit, but they can afford it. But the individual, the startup person, you think they can afford it as easily? All of these government fees that you have to pay, and that's exactly what they are, their fees, their taxes, that hurts the individual startup person. That's a bigger chunk out of them, out of their paycheck, out of the money that they have, as opposed to a massive corporation. So government regulation and licenses and all these other taxes, they don't harm the big corporations. They actually harm the startup, the potential competition. In other words, government intervention actually promotes monopolies. Now, how does this affect healthcare? It's the same damn thing, okay? It's not like the laws of economics and laws of competition and prosperity all of a sudden go out the window now that we go into health insurance. It's the same damn thing. Okay, you have a government-run monopoly with single-payer healthcare. And by the way, the Democrats and some Republicans now, they're coming right out and saying it. You know, they used to try and deflect and say, no, we're not talking about single-payer healthcare. We're just talking about the government helping out and trying to keep costs under control, blah, 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 make it premiums more affordable, which of course Obamacare is the exact opposite. Premiums are through the damn roof. But now they're coming out, now that they're trying to repeal this, well, some are. You've got some actual conservatives that are trying to repeal this damn thing. But now that we're coming to the, okay, let's repeal Obamacare, now they're coming right out in the woodwork, they're coming right out in the open and saying, promoting single-payer healthcare. So when you have one product, when you have one option in the market, you don't have a market. It's either you have this or you're screwed. Okay, and what that means when you have a monopoly is that whoever controls that monopoly can put whatever price they want. The government can make you pay through the nose for healthcare, and there's nothing you can do about it because you have no other option. And here's another thing to keep in mind too. The government has the monopoly on the use of force. Okay, you don't have to go and buy an iPhone. Nobody forces you to buy a damn iPhone. The government, however, when it comes to health insurance if they have a single payer way, they can force you to buy it. They can say, you know what, you have to pay for this, and if you don't, we're going to send the IRS after you and treat you like a tax cheat, basically. So that's why this is a big problem. And it always amazes me how the same people, these same idiots, who they're against private companies having monopolies, but when it comes to the federal government, which is the biggest monopoly out there, no, that's okay. Really? Are you serious? So we're supposed to hate private company monopolies, or at least the idea of it, but the federal government, no, that's no problem. The federal government can have a complete monopoly over everything. That's the most absolutely idiotic and hypocritical position one can take. Now, if you're against monopolies, then you should be against single-payer healthcare. You should be against government monopoly of healthcare. It's that simple. You can't have it both ways. And the reason why healthcare costs were lower pre-Obamacare is because of competition. And people keep bringing up the whole, well, you know, you look at some of these countries like in Europe that people don't really pay for it. Yes, they do pay for it. Their taxes are higher. Oh, and the healthcare, the wait lines, a hell of a lot longer. You can go and Google Canadian healthcare wait times or British National Health Service wait times. People literally die waiting in line, just like the VA. Just like the VA here in our country. Or people, they find that there's not enough hospital beds. The NHS actually had this problem where they ran out of damn hospital beds and people are dying in the hallways, suffering and dying in the hallways of hospitals in Great Britain. You don't have that problem. For people, and I know, I checked the analytics, there are people in Canada, in Ireland, and other countries that have come to the website and listened to my podcast. Yeah, people over in Europe, here in America, we don't have the problem of people suffering and dying in the hallways of hospitals, okay? We don't have that problem. Now, should we go to a single-payer healthcare, or should Obamacare completely destroy whatever healthcare we have? That could happen. But under the American system, yeah, we don't have that. There's a reason why, by the way, that your political leaders in other countries come here to the United States for treatment, because we have better treatment. That's another thing, too. Like I said with the example of the iPhone, not only did it get cheaper with competition, it got better. It got better quality. Same thing with health insurance. You get better quality when you have competition. In an iron-fisted government-run monopoly on healthcare, the government can charge whatever the hell it wants, and there is not a damn thing that you can do to stop them. And they can force you to pay it because they're the government. They have the monopoly on force. They have the IRS. They have the bureaucracies. They've got the executive branch that can enforce those laws through their different agencies. They have Congress. They, you know, the legislature can impose that. And the Supreme Court can impose that too. And if you think they won't, just look at what John Roberts did, where he ruled in favor of Obamacare under the condition that it was a tax. This is serious stuff, that we have people that are actually promoting single-payer healthcare, i.e. government-run monopolies, and they're not even thinking about the consequences of this. They're not thinking about the fact that it's going to lead to higher costs, crappy healthcare, and it's stuff that you have to pay for that you don't have a choice. They're going to make you pay for it one way or another, whether it's raising your damn taxes or just making you pay massive premiums. My guess with this single-payer healthcare system is they're going to mask the whole cost of healthcare by just making you pay more in taxes. Yeah, I don't want to pay like a 70 to 80% freaking tax rate like they do in Sweden. I mean, it's just absolute nonsense. And what it just amazes me that the Republican Party can't make this damn point. I don't know how I just random guy on the internet with a podcast, I can make this point better than those idiots can. Yeah, and by the way, this is a moral argument. It is immoral to force people to pay for health insurance, to pay for any product against their will. It's immoral to do that. It's immoral to take money from people against their will and give it to somebody else, which is what happens when you redistribute wealth. Think of it this way. Random person goes up to someone else on the street and forces them through coercion to hand over their money. What do we call that person? We call them a robber. It's immoral. But then apparently when the government does it, no, that's okay, that's helping the poor. No, that's robbery is what it is. If you use coercion or force to force somebody else to give up their money and give it to somebody else, yeah, that's called robbery. So the government, with this redistribution of wealth, which is exactly what happens in any kind of government-run monopoly on healthcare, well, that's legalized theft. That's robbery. It's immoral. And we should not ever be promoting this. And it just blows my mind that the Republican Party cannot seem to make this argument, that they're caving into the left on healthcare. Unbelievable. We need to just... All these morons who are these fake conservatives, the McConnells, the Ryans, the McCains, and Lindsey Graham types, they all need to be repealed and replaced along with this junk called Obamacare. It all needs to go, and so do they. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick break here on Thor's Hammer Radio. And when we come back, I'm going to wrap up with a few closing thoughts regarding these last couple weeks. And I'll see you in a few seconds here after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Thor's Hammer Radio. This last segment, just wrap it up with a few things here. To start off with, the case of Charlie Gard. That would be the 10-month, 11-month-old baby in the United Kingdom with that severe and very uncommon illness who's basically on life support. And the European Union Court of Human Rights, so there's an oxymoron right there, basically ruled that, no, he can't come to the United States for experimental treatment. No, we're just going to have to let him die. Yeah, do you remember when Sarah Palin, she was mocked by the leftists, by the idiot Democrat media? When she was mocked for saying death panels with regards to the iron-fisted government monopoly on health insurance? Well, gee, a court ruling that, no, this kid... This young baby, it's not worth the resources. He's just going to have to die. Yeah, that sounds like a death panel to me. That's unbelievable. You got to just feel for these parents that are just going through hell. Oh, and then now Donald Trump has expressed sympathy, expressed support. And there's actually been people, I read a story recently that a doctor actually volunteered. It was either a doctor or a medical group that volunteered to actually come to the United Kingdom to do an assessment, at least. I mean, it's a step. Well, there's another story that I looked at, which just got my blood boiling. A judge, so they went with the parents of Charlie Gard went before a judge in the United Kingdom to get a ruling. The judge ruled that they have 2 days to prove why their son should live. I mean, it is unbelievable. What, the kid has to prove why he should live? They have to prove why their young son deserves life? I'll tell you exactly why. Unalienable rights endowed by their creator. All men are created equal, and we're endowed by our creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unalienable right to life. That's why this kid deserves to live. That's unbelievable. And this is a big problem over in Europe, and quite frankly, throughout a lot of the Western world. The Western world, outside of the United States, honestly does not know what God-given rights are. And it's kind of funny because the philosopher, John Locke, who talked about natural rights, and he was the primary source of inspiration for America's founders when it came to unalienable rights, he was a British philosopher. But see, that's the problem, is that a lot of these countries in Europe, and Canada's like this too, unfortunately, they don't know what natural rights are. They just don't. They don't get that the government does not give you rights. Your rights don't come from a piece of damn parchment. Okay, the Constitution does not give us rights, or the Declaration, or any of these documents. Our rights come from a realm that can never be set foot on by mortal man. Okay, they're God-given rights. And that applies to everybody, okay? It's not an evangelical Christian. Okay, I personally am not even that very good of a Christian. I'm really not. I rarely go to church. The whole point of God-given rights is that it applies to everybody. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist or a Jew, a Christian, Muslim, Hindu, pagan, whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is that the rights that you have are enjoyed, you know, regardless of who you are, what your religion is. They come from a realm, divine realm, that mortal man can never set foot on, which means that mortal man can never take it away from you. That's the whole point of God-given rights. A government that can give you rights is a government that can taketh away, which means that so-called rights, which the government or the United Nations or whoever gives you, well, they're not really rights, are they? It's actually a privilege. Okay, when your parents allow you to drive, that's not a right to drive. It's a privilege. It's the same thing if the government gives you it. And this is the problem with a lot of countries in Europe. Is that this is how they think. They think that the government gives you rights. They think that, oh yeah, the judge, in this case with Charlie Gard, or the UN Council, or whatever, British Parliament, they have the right to step in and determine the case for this kid. Because I even read, this was a news organization talking about this, that, well, you know, in Great Britain, the parents don't have absolute right to decide stuff for their kids. It's like, this is unbelievable. This, you'd never get away with this in the United States, or at least, well, that's how it's supposed to be. Unfortunately, the progressives have really done a number on this country. But the whole point is that there is no way in hell that a government should be able to step in and tell, especially a young infant, that no, you just, it's not worth it, not worth our resources, you don't deserve to live. It's absolutely unconscionable and just downright inhumane. Monstrous it is. It just absolutely just infuriates me. And these same people call themselves humanitarians. Give me a damn break. These people are monsters. These people are inhuman is what they are. Yeah, I just really feel for Charlie Gard and his parents. I just praying for a miracle. I really hope that somebody that they can get the help for this young baby, because he does deserve to live. I don't care what some damn judge with some jackass in a black robe. I don't care what some garbage human rights oxymoron commission in the European Union. I don't care what any of them say. They're all wrong. Charlie Gard has an unalienable right to life. He absolutely does. And there's no other reason. There's no justification for just condemning him to death. None whatsoever. All right. Well, that's enough on that front. There's not much more needs to be said with that. Now, on to one other instance. And this has come up pretty frequently now, too. Especially if you pay attention to a lot of social media and YouTube. Net neutrality. So net neutrality, there's this big push because Trump's new FEC chairman, he's big on getting rid of net neutrality. And there's been a lot of people who have been pushing net neutrality. Some people who claim to be anti-government, too. They're talking about, no, we need net neutrality. Okay, so here's the basic pitch with net neutrality. This is their used car salesman argument, is that net neutrality, they exist so that the big corporations don't suck up all like the internet traffic, that you get a fair and equal distribution. Okay, so it's like redistribution of wealth on the internet. It's basically their pitch. And it's, you know, it's to help the little guy. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if for those of you who took the time to listen to this podcast, my second segment where I talked about healthcare and how the free market encourages competition and improvement in quality, whereas government intervention encourages monopolies. Same thing here. See, people have this misperception of the internet that you go from the content provider, or you go from, you know, the internet provider to the overall internet, like this monolithic block, overall internet and cyberspace, whatever. And it then distributes then to the different platforms. And they say, well, this is how the internet, it generally is supposed to work, especially under net neutrality. Okay, the truth is not like that at all. See, what happens is that you go from your internet provider, and oftentimes it bypasses that whole cyberspace, internet block, whatever. And it goes directly to these major internet providers or internet content providers like, say, Google or Microsoft, whatever. In other words, the big companies get the traffic flow right to them directly. So they basically bypass what net neutrality is trying to, the net neutrality argument, what they're trying to sell is that they got this equitable distribution going around to people to help out the little guy. What's happening in reality, and this is happening while we have net neutrality because it is in effect right now, what's happening is that these big providers like Google are getting stuff taken directly to them, like they're bypassing that system and then pushing it directly to you. Okay, so their whole against the corporation thing that net neutrality is talking about, it's not even going in, it's not even working that way in reality. So their argument on that is a moot point. And then, like I said, with the whole idea of the free market versus the government intervention, again, when you have government intervention with all these regulations and rules and blah, 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 well, I mean, think about it. You can't make a website without having to pay. I mean, you do have to pay. I have to pay money in order to have my website at Thor's Hammer Radio up. And other people, they got to pay money to have their platforms up too. So the bigger companies and the like can afford to do that a lot easier. And if the government gets involved with all their little regulations and fees and back and forth, blah, 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 well, those fees are going to be applied to everybody, but the biggest corporations can afford to pocket that fee a lot easier than an independent startup guy like myself. So again, this is another case of the government, which is the pro-net neutrality argument, is to have government interference. The government makes it harder for competition. Whereas the anti-net neutrality argument, which is the argument side I'm on, is no, get the government out of this crap. Let the free market do its thing and see where it goes from there. Because, again, if you got no government intervention, there's nothing that a Google or Microsoft or any of them can do, Amazon, I mean, you name it. There's nothing that they can do to legally stop their competitors. They just can't do it. And by the way, looking at what's been going on with this whole censorship push that, like, that idiot Zuckerberg on Facebook, what he's doing, and things going around on Twitter and others. I mean, you've got these major social media platforms that are outright calling for censorship. Now, how do you think that's going to go down under net neutrality if they keep it? These corporations and, like, the big stuff like Facebook and like, they're gonna get their say on that. If they want to censor you, they're going to do it. And again, I might just point out that all of this internet censorship stuff and things like that, this has been happening while net neutrality is in effect right now. So let me ask you, with this pro-net neutrality argument that some are making, do you really want to continue a system where you have censorship going on right now? Do you want to have a system where you've got these massive internet corporations that are soaking up a lot of traffic and edging out their competition through, and especially with all these different regulations that are about? So this is in effect right now. You really want to continue that? Or do you think you just want to go with a free market model where people vote with their wallet and you let the free market determine and you let competition and quality filter in and improve it and make it better? Well, I personally, I don't want the path of Twitter and Facebook censorship, YouTube demonetization, and all that crap. I don't want that. No, I want a free and open internet, which is with anti-net neutrality, okay? The net neutrality claim of a free and open internet is nonsense. It's not free and open under net neutrality. It's free and open absent of net neutrality. Because a free market capitalist approach to the internet is exactly how you get there. And net neutrality is the opposite of that. It's socialism for the internet, okay? It's redistribution of wealth. That's exactly what that is. So, and that's all I'm going to say with regards to the net neutrality argument, which has been coming up recently. And like I said, you can search around social media sites and YouTube sites and see this for yourself. There's a lot of arguments going around about that. But that's mine. And again, like I said, my stuff is all about the free market and free market capitalism. And I'm against redistribution of wealth and socialism, Marxism, all that stuff. And in a nutshell, net neutrality is socialism for the internet. That's exactly how I see it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, I really appreciate you for listening to this podcast and tuning in with me today. That's all I've got. Make sure to catch me at Alex Thorson at Thorhammer Radio on Twitter, or catch me on Minds.com at Thorshammer Radio, my Facebook page, Thorshammer Radio, and also just catch me on the website, www.thorshammerradio.com, and also be sure to check out Convention of States, www.conventionofstates.com, for Article 5 Convention of the States. The fight is on, and the push is needed more than ever to try and bring back our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening in. As always, I'm your host, Alex Thorson, here with Thorshammer Radio.
Face the hammer.
Listen, everybody.